everybody. It's your boy Jay Music. That's J-A-I-M-U-S-I-Q. Hip hop and R&B artist straight out of Memphis, Tennessee. And I'm glad to be here right here on New Radio Renaissance. You feel me?
What's up? It's like we happy to have you.
Tasha.
Yeah, I'm definitely happy to be here. Thanks for having me on the show. For sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's so cool. I think you have kind of been a part of the New Renaissance journey since we started doing Carnelian. So it's like cool to see it come like full circle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So then we did it at the Birdhouse some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what's crazy about that, bro? I'm getting like all the footage of that put into like a little mini documentary, and I was watching a bunch of all that old footage that we took whenever we first did the Birdhouse run, and like everybody looked mad young. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was what, 4 years ago.
Yeah, like 2018.
Yeah, 2018,
right.
Then another one, 2019.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a long way, bro. We did all did a lot since then.
Yeah, fact.
Mm-hmm. More to come. Speaking of more to come, we got you on here. Talk about this project that you got coming. I kind of wanted you to, you know, dive into that. Like, what? Why now? Why you feeling like you got a body of work for people to get?
You said why now?
Yeah.
I dropped my last album in August of 2020, so that's probably about a year and a half ago from this point.
Mm-hmm.
So through that year and a half, I've done a lot of learning. I've done a lot of growing, especially just through the pandemic or whatever. Like, a lot of the songs from this album were written during the pandemic versus the last album. Like, some of them were, like, before the pandemic started, and some of them were, like, after the pandemic had hit. So it's kind of coming from two different headspaces, two different, like, I don't know how to, two different vibes, I guess, because, I mean, just the overall vibe of pre-COVID versus how it is now is totally different, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But why now? I feel like just within the past year and a half, like I said, I've done a lot of growing, and I definitely want to showcase that growth musically. With the people who, you know what I'm saying, take the time to listen to me, take the time to support me. So I think it's just time. I try to drop an album like every 2 years. So I did the Tab Joint 2018, then I did Off the Out 2020, and then doing this one 2022. So I'm keeping that pattern going. So yeah, him is definitely on the way. February 2nd, 2022, and it's on a Tuesday. I just feel like that was the perfect day because everything just lined up.
Nice.
So, yeah.
How do you feel about? Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I'm really interested in terms of you're saying you learned a lot during the time that you've kind of been away in terms of musically. So in terms of like what you've been learning and figuring out. Like, what are some of the things that you was like, yeah, like, this, I got to write this down and kind of document this as a part of my journey, like, as an artist and whatnot?
Yeah. So, with the pandemic hitting and everything, it came with the shutdown, of course. I mean, it came with a lot of added time to do some introspection, to look into myself a little bit more, kind of figure out why I do the things that I do, why I feel the way that I feel, and just, kind of looking back over my whole life and just, like, seeing what's really going on with me, what's really going on with me in relation to other people, what's going on with me inside myself, you know? So just taking all of that and putting it into a body of work. So the album is called Him, but it's an acronym. The acronym is highly in tune with myself. And the album is just talking about how in tune I've been with myself over this past year and a half because... But one, we were kind of forced to at the beginning of the pandemic, like being in the house, being alone, not really being around people due to COVID and all of that. And two, just growing up. Like, I dropped in August of 2020, so that means I was 24. Yeah, I was 24 when I dropped. I was 24 when I dropped that album, unless I'm tripping. No, I was 23. I was 23 when I dropped that album. I turned 24. Right after that, and, like, just the learning that I did in 24 coming into the 25, like, just a lot came within that period, because within this period that we're in, like, it's hard for us, like, a lot of us either just graduating college or, like, finishing up college and kind of getting adjusted to the real world. And with that real world adjustment comes with a lot of growing pains, like, a lot of struggles. A lot of stuff that people didn't tell us about being an adult that we kind of figuring out on our own, and a lot of stuff that people warned us about that we maybe just didn't listen to. And just trying to battle through that. And this album is just talking about just that battle, that journey of finding myself through growing up, basically. Because through school, like, my whole identity was just going to school, going to band practice, like, and doing that. But once you take school out of the equation, you take school out of the routine, it's like, okay, now who are you, really? You know what I'm saying? So that's the question I've been asking myself and hopefully answering with this album, for real.
That's fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I relate heavily to the growing pains, saw that you was, like, kind of mentioning, because that's kind of been, like, I feel that, because that's been kind of, like, the story of my, what I'm going through currently, and, like, why I haven't been as active. I like, relate to that, man, heavy, like, understanding this is what I want to do, but, like, there's so much responsibility that comes with, like, being independent and being on your own. And independent, like, in more than one way, like, not just as, like, a young man, but as an independent artist. Right. So, yeah, like, speaking to the choir, bro. I want to get into, like, what you were saying about really just specific things that you, like, had to understand in terms of growing pains, like, specific things that you had to understand as you were going through your journey, like, damn, like, this shit. Because I see you grind a lot in terms of, like, going out and going and touching people and with, like, live shows and doing, like, listening parties and whatnot. So I want to, like, kind of get into what you've been learning in your artist regard, like, what you want to do there.
So, like, what I've been learning, like, just on the artist side?
Yeah.
What I've really been learning is, one, is in this day and time, it's hard to make people feel something when they're listening to a record, when they're listening to a song or listening to an album. Because, one, like just going back to the pandemic thing, we've been so socially distanced from people for a certain amount of time, even though it's kind of, you know what I'm saying, back to normal at this point. I don't know how it is, like, wherever y'all are, but in Memphis, it's pretty much, like, back to normal for real.
It's getting like that in Florida. It's getting like that in Florida.
Yeah. So, like, just dealing with that and taking away kind of, like, that real human connection, like, in-person connection. Like, of course, like, we still got the social media. We still doing Zoom calls. Like, we still doing virtual things like this, like, with the interview. But that in-person connection, like, that real, like, face-to-face thing, like, we lacked that for a minute. And we really never have gotten back to how it really was, probably never will. But that's important. Like, with that lack of connection, like, we have, like, a lack of feeling and a lack of empathy for other people and sympathy for other people. So my goal as an artist has just been to make people feel something. Like, even if it's a bad feeling, like, if it's a sad song and it may make somebody think about a sad time in their life, or it's a happy song and it brings them out of whatever sadness they were in, like, one of my goals is just to make people feel something, because we're so desensitized to everything. Like, almost everything, like, for real, to the point where, like, we're watching, like, we watch people die on live TV.
Yeah.
Like, not even, like, movies and TV shows. Like, we were watching real, regular people die on live TV.
Like, and it's so normal.
Yeah, like, it's a normal thing, but it's not. So really, to make people feel something. And another thing that I learned, which I think is probably also an important thing, is just learning the power of the words that I speak and the words that I rap and the words that I sing, my power as an artist, and kind of taking that power and using it for positivity and using it to just make people see themselves in a certain light, make people see other people in a certain light, just using that power to positively influence other people. Because as a musician, as a creative of any kind, like even with you guys doing your podcast and doing the playlist and doing that, you guys have a certain access to people that non-creatives wouldn't have. Like, you get to choose what people listen to on the daily. Like, people are listening to your playlist, they're taking a vibe from y'all playlist and incorporating it into their day. With me, the songs that I'm making or albums that I'm making, if people choose to listen to it, they're taking that vibe and incorporating it into their day, into their life, maybe, if they rock with you that hard. So it's like, what vibe do you really want to put out? What message do you really want to give people? So just realizing the power I got and just trying to use it to the best of my ability to do the best that I can.
I like what you said about valuing. I think the pandemic had us put a value on like personal connections, because like you said, we were lacking that so much. And I think also prior to COVID, we weren't really valuing those connections because it was kind of such a like, you know, we never thought we wouldn't have those. So, you know, I can relate to that, because when the pandemic hit and like we kind of stopped going to shows, it almost cut off people who are in the creative community from each other, right? Like, we weren't really meeting and networking at shows because we couldn't really find venues. Like, every industry had a hit, but like I felt the hit on like the creative community per se. So like, I'm glad that now we can kind of get back to doing shows and getting out. And like you said, Memphis is kind of like back in action. Here in Jacksonville, like, we back in action too. There's poetry events, and like people are really starting to go to events and make connections as opposed to just going and like being there. So I would say, like, you know, society is gonna, it's starting to change a little bit. And then also you talked about like the growing pains, and we have to put those growing pains on top of like maneuvering through COVID. So it's all like, it's all like, it's a mental fuck almost, you know what I mean? Because like, there's a lot on our plate as young people, as young Black people, right? Like, just trying to make it, as young creatives, just trying to make it and get our art to be heard and put it on the platform. So yeah, and the power of the tongue is a powerful thing.
I think it's like, it's obviously like art as fuck, like trying to do this shit. But as like artists, I feel like it's kind of like, it's kind of dope, because it's like, if you like become a GOAT in this era, it's like, especially at our age, it's like you had to go through like a pandemic and then coming up as like a young man, young woman. It's like, bruh, if you go through all of that and become a GOAT, like, your story is, like, imprinted. It's like, bruh, you went through a pandemic, it was still a GOAT. Like, what are you, bruh? Like,
type shit. Man, that's the goal for sure, man. That's the goal. Just gotta keep going. Like you said, though, this shit is hard. Like, this shit is very hard. Like, that's why if you don't love what you do as a creator for real, like, it's easy to get discouraged. I'm very passionate about my music and my artistry, and I still get discouraged. Like, I've been getting discouraged recently, like putting this listening party tour together and getting this album released together, like just feeling discouraged, like just feeling like I should be getting more support, feeling like more people should be, you know what I'm saying, helping me out. But at the same time, like, things gonna work out how they're supposed to. Yeah. I just gotta keep, you know what I'm saying, putting everything in, everything that I can put into it, put it in, and hopefully I get that tenfold back, you know what I'm saying, on the back end. Mm-hmm. But time will tell. I definitely put a lot of time and energy into this album, into planning everything around it, so hopefully the people receive it well when it comes out.
Hope you're having a good day. Hope you're having a good day, yeah. 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 Look. Hope you're having a good day. If you're not, then you are, cause you blessed to be awake. Yeah, you blessed to hear Jay. Got a vibe strong enough to take over the airwaves. And no, you ain't hearing this by mistake. It's a message for everyone who listens to take away. It's a lot going on in the time we in today, so just listen to the words that I say. Don't let bad vibes get you down. As the world spins round and round, it's so easy to get caught up in negativity, you'll drown. Don't compare to no one else, you can only be yourself. Forget money, your self-worth, and sense of peace is the real world. So come and vibe with me. If you tuned in, now that you need enlightenment, yeah. Tune in with yourself, it's a light inside of you. Forget your pain, forget your sorrow. Don't you worry about tomorrow. We got everything we need, so just take it easy. It could all be so simple, but we make it hard. Giving up our time just to go to a job that doesn't line up with what's placed in our heart. But how could I blame you? Before I came to record, I did the same too. It's a system in place just to change you. You could see greatness in you, but they knew. So this little light of mine, yeah, I'ma let it shine. Finna touch the whole world, my one-of-a-kind vibe. Ayy, me and my spirit, we so tight. I'm just walking in my purpose, left, right. I'm connected with everything around me. Only good vibes surround me. I wasn't looking for my blessing, but it found me. So just tap into the sound, G. If you tuned in, now let me enlighten you. Tune in with yourself, there's a light inside of you. Forget your pain, forget your sorrow. Don't you worry about tomorrow. We got everything we need, so just take it. All we gotta do is just be. The answers are all inside of you. Listen to yourself, it's so much love.
Part you feel like living the life to like make the songs, or like actually getting down to make it?
Making songs is like second nature at this point. I've been doing it for so long. I dropped my first project in 2015. So I've been doing this about 7 years, but even before that, like I was writing poetry and just doing songs for fun or whatever. So like making songs and performing and stuff like it's kind of easy. Living your life is for so hard and writing. That's what, yeah, and I think any artist can agree with that. Like actually going through the personal strifes of whatever it takes to make these songs that we all love. Like it's definitely harder. But you know, it's on the flip side of that when I'm making happy and upbeat music, like going through those times is that much better. You know, so you know what I'm saying. You know, it kind of go hand in hand, but it's definitely harder to live the life than it is to write songs about the life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the outcome, I think, like, you know, the songs make it worth it, make the experience worth it. Like, I had to go through this really terrible time, but I got this really great song from it. I got this really great poem from it. I got this really great piece from it. It makes the experience that much more, like, worth it. Like, it wasn't for nothing. You know, and then it's also, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. It's always going to be something greater beyond what you're going through. So.
Yeah, it's true. And it make it even more worth it when, you know what I'm saying, you go through that, you make that song, and then somebody who rocks with you listens to that song and it's like, yo, like, I think I understand where it's coming from. Like, this made me feel better about the same situation I'm going through. Like, I'm glad that I heard the song. Like, that makes it even more work because now, like, my goal is coming true. You know, like, I'm reaching my goal. Because now I'm making music that's resonating with people enough for them to listen to the song and hit me up and be like, yo, like, I really felt that. Like, people that I don't even know, like, complete strangers, like, in the DM sometimes it's like, yeah, I heard such and such, and it really resonated with me. Like I'm glad that you dropped it. Like the B song that I dropped last summer, that was just a lot of people. I don't know if you guys have heard that one, but it touched a lot of people. Yeah, yeah. A lot of DMs about that, like just how it like uplifted people's moods and just made people feel better as they were going through their day. That's all I'm trying to do.
That's fine. That's super far.
Appreciate that, bro.
Yeah, in terms of like fulfilling moments, what do you feel has been one of the most like, I made this song, it reached this person, or I made this song and I got to do this with it? What's been one of those like, because we've been talking a lot about like being discouraged and going through that, but like, I want to kind of talk on the other end of like moments where you're like getting somewhere, like, ah. That like good feeling.
Yeah. So like fulfilling moments. I can really anytime I make a song is like a fulfilling moment because it's like another, you know what I'm saying, just adding on to the discography. I can definitely say that dropping All For Y'all was fulfilling. Because it was like a real full length album. Like it had like 17 songs on it with skits and everything. So like when I dropped it, like I really felt like a real artist for real. You know, I feel like I'm a real artist before that, but like when I did that, like 17 song project skits, you know what I'm saying, interludes and all that, I'm like, yeah, like I'm feeling like that guy. Another time when I threw my first show, which was the day before Halloween 2020, the Spook That Spoke out in Memphis. I got a couple of Memphis artists. I think I put together, I think it was six of us on that show. And, like, we put our own money up, like, got the venue and all that, sold out on Eventbrite. We sold all 100 tickets on Eventbrite beforehand and still sold door tickets. Like, so, like, we made our money back and then some in the middle of a pandemic, mind you. So, it's like, not only did people come out to support us, but people came out to support us in a pandemic. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, dealing with the COVID stuff, and you still chose to come out and support us, like, there's love. Like, that was very, very fulfilling for sure. Like I said, like, we put our own money up, like, we set everything up on our own, because I don't know how it is where y'all are as far as, like, the creative scenes and stuff, but, like, in Memphis, people don't like to pay their artists. They don't like to pay the artists to do shows and, like, come out and do that, you know? And I'm a huge advocate for paying the artists, paying the creatives. Like, if you don't put together a show and people are coming to see these people on the flyer, not the promoter, but the artists that are on the flyer, the artist needs to be paid. Now, I'm not saying you got to pay the artist racks and racks, but take care of your artists. Like, if you're making money off these people's names and off their music and off their talent, then you need to pay them. So instead of waiting around for somebody to pay us, like, we decided to put together the show. Our own money, all the money we get coming right back to us. We ain't got to worry about no middleman or nothing. Like, we'll book a DJ, we'll book a host, you know what I'm saying, all that, pay them up front. And they ain't got to touch none of what come in, you know. So, very fulfilling moment for sure. Yeah. I'd say those are the top two in my career so far.
JoJo, best. So I like that you're saying like pay like the artist, right? What do you think is like for promoters who can't pay artists, what is something that they can do in order to make up for like, if you're doing a free show, right? Like, when we did Birdhouse, that was a free show. So it's not like we got anything off the door or off the head. What is something that a promoter can do to show appreciation or support to the make you like want to keep working with them? Because, you know, I feel like we're all on a journey of like building up. So just like the artist is building up and trying to get a name for himself, the promoter is too, in a sense, like, because me, I'm not necessarily an artist, but I want to be in management and like in event planning, you know what I mean? And I want to work with artists. And I believe artists should be paid, but if the funds are not there to pay, what would be another compensation or a good compensation in your eyes? And like Nick and JoJo, y'all can answer that too as artists. You know what I mean? Like with a pound of weed suffice, like crystals. Let me take you to dinner. No, I'm just kidding.
A pound of weed costs more than it would cost to pay me. But how you get there, you can't pay me.
Oh, God.
If they're a grower, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, what would be compensation?
I mean, if it's a, like y'all just, like, it was a free show, so, like, people weren't, like, paying money to come in. Like, y'all was just throwing that, really, to get exposed for y'all brand and to expose Knoxville to new artists, new music. So, like, I mean, that's cool. Like, y'all not making no money off me, I'm not too much tripping off, you know. Like, we can rock like that. Really, really depend on who you are. Like, with y'all, you know what I'm saying? I rock with y'all. Y'all rock with me way back when. Mm-hmm. But, you know what I'm saying? New people, we gotta wait for them. But as far as other conversation, I don't even really know. Like, I'd take some gas. Yeah, for sure. I'd take some gas. You know what I'm saying? Some a drinker, like, the you got a bar or something, you know what I'm saying? Give me a couple drinks,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm
saying? Yeah. Or something. I think I ask that because I just feel like as like networking and building a relationship between artists and like planners or promoters and whatnot, there has to be some level of like acknowledgement and appreciation. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's where the money usually comes in. And it's like, it's understandable if you can't pay. But, like, if you can't pay, you need to show appreciation in some other form. Like,
I was going to say, like, good energy. Like,
well, like, yeah, but
that's an underrated. No. I feel like that's an underrated thing. It's like, a lot of people don't think about, like, how putting a show and doing all that is a lot of, like, work and, like, getting people to come and, like, doing the promotion and all of that. So it's like, if everybody is in high spirits and, like, has good energy, like, it's a good, like, it makes the synchronization of the show make everybody, like, feel like, okay, we're doing this for, like, a bigger, higher cost type shit. If everybody's coming in there with, like, man, I'm just here to fulfill what I got going on in my agenda, or, like, there's a lot of butting heads and bad energy, like, I don't want to be in an environment where I'm going to feel, like, antagonized and shit. It's like, bro, I'm here to spread good vibes. So, like, that's a very underrated, like, dang, like, good energy, because not everybody got that shit. So I would say if you're a promoter, like, understand, like, because now I'm doing this for free and you're not compensating me, like, be cool, bro. Like, don't be like, you need to do this, or like, you need to be here this time. Like, I'm here for free. Like, so give me that good energy. I give you that good energy back.
Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like every situation you go in, every place you go, there's going to be bad energy no matter where you go. Because, like, no matter where I've went in life, there's always been bad energy around me. And and I can't help that, and no one else can help that. Only thing you can do is be yourself. So I think that the only thing I would ask for is just a place to, like, sit or lay down. Like, if I have those elements, I'll be all right, bro. Because I'm a viber. I'm a straight viber. Wherever I go, I vibe. So if I don't have a vibe area where I can vibe, then I'm going to have a terrible time at your function. So I'm like, hey, like, let me
so
just
vibe.
So
you need your own section in the club.
I don't even need a section. As long as I have a vibe
area. You're right. You'll be able to sit and lay.
Yeah, sit and lay. If I can lay on the stage, I'll be all right. We're going to just be, you know, Janae Aiko, how she has those fucking meditation circles?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want that. That's what I want. That's it.
Size 17, back there be Nard. Talking my talk.
No tune, right?
Ladies and gentlemen.
I was gonna hold out till the beat came in, but I really ain't feel like waiting.
Fuck.
No, I made a song about it, but I feel my time coming and I got a hard time being patient. The lie made the beat, but I'm feeling so blessed that I'm really coming sound like David.
Thank you.
Let me tell you a little story about Jay, just a young real nigga from the Havens. Hey, I let the music do all of the talking, you won't hear me making no statements. Had Bluff City Blues for a minute, so I went away to school just to get a vacation. Before a nigga got his funds up, wrecking up streams all across this nation. Way before a nigga made hits and the kid came up on the album placement. Humble young man with some fire at music and a mess, my plan to get on in the city. Got my degree at the AUC, moved back to the M and I got real litty. Standing 10 toes, but I ain't alone, gon' make it to the top, get my friends on with me. I got so much love for each of my brothers, just like we reside in Philly. For really, I know they watching my back. Remember me, Tess, and Crick crawling it up in the tummy when we got a wreck. My nigga TPP said that he wanted to rap, I put him on the track. That was at the EDP, fronted the ZIP so a nigga could stack. I swear I'd have seen and did so much shit and you niggas do not know the half. I speak through my rhythm and flows, it's coming like notes you see on the staff. One day my money gon' stack up so high to this, I live up with a giraffe. And I can count it, no problem, cause I got a 30 on ACT, man. I remain solid after everything I've been through. That's why I'm not too worried about what her or him do. Sometimes I get so high, I think it's laced like a tennis shoe. Not the one that starts it, but I guarantee I finish you. First thing first, I'm a son, young nigga, since way back when I first started. Still quick to show love, even though I've been let down and broken hearted. First thing first, we've been doing this shit since way back on Lombardi. Gonna make a couple M's from the empire that we built out throwing parties. First thing first is the intro. This off for y'all if you didn't know. The quicker you rise, the harder you fall. So I'm on a mission to win slow. I'm gonna make it and share my success and my blessings with all of my kinfolk. I'm gonna make it and share my success and my blessings with all of my kinfolk. I'm back at it, holding my way like a snack at it. I cannot ride with you if you ain't logical. Guess you can say I'm too pragmatic. Your favorite rapper from the city got bangers, but having it hard trying to drop a classic. See my catalog, nigga, been doing this shit for some years. I've been had it. Swag impeccable, I can blame it on genetics. Probably cut my kin head. Same last name is Irving the Lakers, so it's safe to say that I've been mad. Niggas been up in the booth with no passion, and the results have been real tragic. When I'm selling out venues in a few, just know that it's been a magic. We went from house parties to arenas, me and my niggas just been manifesting. So when you see us with the Grammys and Oscars, you gotta know that it's been destined. Gotta know that I'm a flow rider, I ain't talking about the fucking city business. This shit is in me, not on me, it's really my second nature, ain't no second guessing. Hey, first thing first, I'm a son, young niggas since way back when I first started. Still quick to show love, even though I've been let down and broken hearted. First thing first, we've been doing this shit since way back on Lombardi. Gonna make a couple M's from the empire that we built out throwing parties. First thing first is the intro. This off for y'all if you didn't know. The quicker you rise, the harder you fall. So I'm on a mission to win slow. I'm gonna make it and share my success and my blessings with all of my kinfolk. I'm gonna make it and share my success and my blessings with all of my kinfolk. Setting
my blessings, my kinfolk. Success and my blessing, my kinfolk. Success and my blessing, my kinfolk.
I'm gonna make it into my success and my blessing, my kinfolk. My kinfolk.
So it seems like you kind of just kind of make a connection with whoever is performing, right? Like, what do you need in order to have a good time? Because if somebody is working with all three of you, you all three need very different things.
Right. But that's your job as the promoter, is like understanding all the artist's needs and shit. Like, all right, this nigga's going to be like this. And this nigga finna be like,
he's gonna be like that.
I'm the easiest artist to work with. I ain't gonna lie to you. So I'm gonna show up when you tell me to show up. Like, I'm gonna be like, it's been so many shows where I've been like the first person at the show. Like, I'm there before, like, the people who put the show together. Like, so many times. Cause, like, I'm a punctual person. Like, I don't like waiting on people, so I don't like maybe making people wait. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna be there at the same time, be there. Like, you tell me sound check at this time, this day, I'm gonna be there if I can, if I ain't working or nothing. Like, I'm gonna be there. I just asked people to send me somehow, some way. Some guy, some way.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for a minute. Like, I can understand, like, doing the free shows and everything, starting out, getting your name out, you know what I'm saying, building your show chops, building your performance routine and resume and all that. But at this point, then I'm it. Like, I've been performing for a while. Like, even before I started rapping, like, I was always performing, like, band and choir and stuff like that. And, like, taking that to the artist side, like, I've been working on my music. Like, my music is always growing. Like, my music is at a level that I feel like deserves to be compensated for. My talent is at a level that I feel like deserves to be compensated for. So that's just what I'm at with it, me personally. Like, if anybody, like, asks me to do a show, I'm going to tell you up front. Like, I charge for shows. So that's just what we're at with it. But, yeah. I just want everybody, like you said, it's about the respect. It's about the respect of the craft from the promoter and the artist side. Like you said, the promoter got to put it together. The artist got to, you know what I'm saying, show up and show out when it's their time to do
it.
So when we got that mutual respect, everything cool, everything smooth. So
And to some regard, it's about knowing your worth. Like, if you know your worth more than what they're offering, you know, is it really worth me performing here? Like, it has to be a mutual benefit. And I can't feel like I'm being cheated. Because like you said, a lot goes into making art, making music, producing songs. Like, a lot goes into your craft. So you should be compensated. You know what I mean? You should be like, you should know your worth, how much you are worth as an artist. And does the promoter know your worth? Are they blatantly showing you that you are not worth it? You know, whatever it may be. And then it's kind of like, well, then what do you walk away from? You know, like, I feel like not every opportunity is the right opportunity. And it's about knowing, like, is this going to be a benefit for me as much of a benefit for you? Is it a mutual benefit or is it just you? You know what I mean? Like, there are people in this industry who are dirty like that, who only see the self in it, and they don't see that this is a community and we have to work together.
That's a super true thing. That's what I've been realizing through my internship. It's like I'm interning at this agency, and like I'm looking at it because I'm interning at the agency, like from the agent side, and how agents be like I obviously want to help this artist, but at the same time, like, this artist is demanding this much. I'm going to be taking this much from this deal and whatnot. And so I'm trying to meet the middle ground, but, like, they keep on, because I don't want to put no specific, but they keep on, like, demanding this and whatnot. And so I was just looking at that from, like, a regular, not to like, put on a job, but, like, a regular, like, type of job trying to, like, compensate. And, like, kind of compromise with the artist is, like, there's only so much, like, niggas can really do type shit. Like, I've seen a lot of people, like, feel like they weren't, I don't know, what's the word? Like, they weren't being valued and respected. But it's, like, bro, like, we only have this much money for real. And it's not even on some, like, we don't value your art. But it's, like, bro, this is what we got. And, like, we want you. Like, it's not no, like, we don't fuck with you. It's like, this is what we have and this is what we're trying to meet and shit. And like, I've seen a lot of people like one of the things that they've been teaching me on my agency is like understanding doing somebody a favor because they did this favor for this artist who they were trying to break. And that whenever she got broken and like she was like doing better shows and getting more money, she did a favor for them back type shit. She was like, y'all, like, basically put me on type shit. So understanding the nature of, like, relationships and whatnot, like, she could have been, like, fuck y'all niggas type shit, essentially, because she, like, she don't even got to see them niggas no more. She making, like, way more than, like, they put her on for. But because she did that, like, just understanding the nature of relationships, it was crazy because, like, it was very, like, I saw a practical way of, like, you know, like, how they do that shit in, like, the industry for real. And I was like, oh, you got to understand, like, everybody. It's a community effort on all fronts. So it was just crazy to see it firsthand type shit.
It's not about what you know, about who you know. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If a lot of us have done that before, then I feel like the music industry or entertainment industry as a whole is probably the truest place where that works. Like, it's about who you know. It's about, you know what I'm saying, what relationships you have. And like she was saying, you got to think about, like, well, what are you going to walk away with from this transaction? Like, yeah, like, okay, like, you do a free show. What's coming on the back end of that? What opportunity can possibly come from that? What exposure can possibly come from that? Because I really been on a paid show, like Kick. Like, if you're not paying me for a show, I'm really not going to do it. But I've done, like, in that span, like, maybe one or two shows for free, right? And in those, like, there was exposure on the back end that I felt was worth me not getting paid for that show. Or, like, worth, like, missing out on conversations for that. Because it's like, okay, I may not get paid for this show, but I know I'm going to get some spins in Nashville on the radio after I do this joint. So it's like, okay, I'm not going to get paid tonight, but maybe somebody will hear me and, you know what I'm saying, something can come from that. So that's how I look at it. But building a relationship is definitely key. That's what I've been doing, like, over these past 6 years, just trying to do as many shows as possible, you know, do as many features as possible, lock in with as many people as possible. So now when I get to the point where it's like, all right, like, I want to get paid now, people not going to look at me too crazy. You know, people going to try to work with me because I've been working with y'all for the past, I don't know how long. But in Memphis, it's kind of tough because a lot of these shows, it really ain't going to be nothing coming from them. So it's not our way of doing a lot of them for free. That's why here, like, I'm trying to get paid for stuff.
What is it like? What is it like making music in a city with an established sound?
I say it's tough for sure. Because I mean, the established sound here is trap. Like every rapper that comes out of Memphis is pretty much a trap rapper. You
know what I'm saying? That shit hard as hell.
Huh?
I was saying that shit hard as hell. Memphis rap, Memphis trap is hard.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. You know what I'm saying? I don't listen to trap like that. You know, I'm trying to, you know, trying to protect their energy as much as possible.
Yeah, I heard that.
But, I mean, much respect to those guys. But Memphis got so much more to offer. And I'm definitely trying to be one of the ones to put the spotlight on the different sound. I can say it's hard, though, because it's kind of like you got to find, like, I'm literally, like, creating my own lane, like, in a city full of trap. Or, like, Memphis is like either trap or it's like you got like the old school like R&B stuff that like people are kind of still doing and making new. But like those are like the two sounds. But if you're not doing those two things, it's really not too much of a lane for you, or kind of like a specific place for you to go, or a specific audience that you kind of have. Like everybody that does different music is just kind of like taking people from those two main audiences that may rock with what you got going. So it's definitely hard. But I mean, I'm just trying to keep doing what I can. I mean, like, I know my music is at the level where it can go where it needs to. It's all about getting the right person to hear it. You ain't gotta get everybody to hear it. The whole city ain't gotta rock with you. If you got 10 people in the city rocking with you, but they the right 10 that can possibly put you in a position, like, that's all that matters. So all I can do is keep making the best music that I can, keep performing the best that I can, keep, you know what I'm saying, just staying on my toes in every aspect on the music and the business side, and just hoping that opportunity comes at some point.
True. Would you ever consider moving?
I have considered.
I was thinking that too.
I have considered moving. I don't really know, like, where in the reason I consider moving really has nothing to do with music. I've been trying to move out, like, my mama's crib for, like, 2 years now, right?
Yeah.
It's just not working out. Like, it's just the COVID, like, on top of just apartments being high for no reason, like, being in the hood and, like, 900 for, like, a two-bedroom, but, like, we right around, you know what I'm saying? We right around the way. Like, from where I'm currently.
And you trying to get out of that?
I don't know, bro. This has been tough, but I mean, I'd be open to, like, moving to the Ville or something like Nashville. Because I do a lot of stuff out of Nashville anyway.
Everybody moving to Nashville.
Everybody is moving to Nashville.
Nashville is growing.
Yeah, all the black people in chat moving to Nashville because Chattanooga racist.
It's y'all whole state, honestly. God. It's Tennessee as well.
Not the y'all.
I got in there and had to
I honestly appreciate, this gonna sound wild, but I appreciate Nashville racists, because they racist to my face, bro. Oh. They racist to my face. I'd rather somebody be racist to my face than, like, be like, I fuck with you, but then racist behind my back. Like, they racist to my face, and I just gotta take that. Like, for sure. You bogus.
They wanna plot against you, too. They gonna do both, bro. Just because they racist.
I obviously don't fuck with no racism, bro. Like, come on, bro. It's attack on my, like, life and my skin. But I'd rather somebody, like, be like, I don't fuck with you than
be upfront with it.
Yeah. Like, it's like, bro, for sure. I get to meet your energy and, like, kind of, like, then, like, you know, that's when we get to, like, you know, like, that's that. I face that. It's like, I read it that, honestly. Because it's like, bro, like, I go through so much of my day-to-day, like, in terms of just, like, bullshit. But it's like, bro, I don't want another, like, layer of, like, do these people vote? Do you not vote? Like, bro, just tell me, bro. Just tell
bro,
me. And they be telling you. Oh, God.
Once I started working for real, once I started working for real, like, I stopped giving a fuck about all that shit, to be honest with you.
Size 17, back there be not. Talking about talk.
So I might go crazy. That's how I
Like, I'm just like, I'm chilling, bro. I feel like a nomad, bro. I feel like a monk. I go to work, teach my kids, and then go home. Don't worry about shit, bro. Like, I don't worry about the stress at work. I'd be like, once that 4 o'clock hit.
Yeah, I clock out.
I'm home, bro.
It's time to go.
Yo, someone call me up. I don't want to answer. I'm going to let that shit ring. I'm just
talking, bro. No, like, yeah. At 4:10, I take all my kids to the bus stop. And when y'all bus get called, you just go over there. I'm not waiting in a room for all these buses to be late. No. It's almost 4:15. It's time to go.
Yeah, like, once I got a job, like, all that other bullshit, it's just like, bruh, do I give a fuck? Like, that Kanye shit. Like, Kanye, Isaiah Rashad, like, all that shit. I'm like, damn, I didn't give a fuck about that shit.
Nah, for real. Like, it's too much real life shit. It's too much real life shit going on, like, around me and in me to be too worried about this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I ain't too much worried about what another man got going. I mean, I still bump as they steal. I don't care. I bump Cudi and Ye today at work during this shit. I don't give a fuck about them decent.
Do they beef? Yeah. People get too caught up in that.
I ran the whole Man on the Moon album, then ran Graduation right after this, bro.
Right. Yeah, no, I think celebrities kind of be trolling for that, too. Like, they want you to feed into it.
You realize, realize a lot about that stuff. Like, how Kanye is, like, a master of, like, making niggas care about irrelevant shit. It's crazy. Yeah. He's a goat at it. Like, it's almost like, because I'm looking into, like, business and, like, marketing and stuff like that, music marketing. And, like, he's probably one of the best music marketers of our time, type shit, just because, like, he does it so, like, people are so invested in the Kanye because of, like, just, like, this nigga has dropped so many classics, type shit. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, now it's, like, this second leg of his career where he's just, like, using his, like, family as marketing is, like, it's almost like, I was like, bro, like, he's getting way too deep into it, bro. I was like, yo,
yeah.
I gotta, like, but it yo, I gotta step back, bro. You, like, doing too much.
It works.
But part of it working is because, like, his family is in the media so much. Like, his wife is a social media mogul. Like, of course it's gonna work in that situation or in their, because, like, for them, that is real life, right? That's just not real life for us. So, like, we four as, like, sound individuals who understand that that is just social media, we can, like, disconnect from that. But there are, like, people who cannot detach from the social media, like, drama. Like, they literally live for it. You know what I mean? So, like, and it's a majority of our generation.
That's what I'm like. It's a majority of people, goddamn, like. If you, like, going off your point, like, my Ma Dukes, all the shows she watches, it's just drama on top of drama on top of drama. Just like, if you talk about the Vampire Diaries, Originals, Euphoria.
Oh, I love all that. Wait, what?
All that shit is drama on top of drama on top of drama, bro. I'd be like, God damn.
This gonna be having my sis in a
night. Man, and it's Euphoria night, y'all. Oh, it's Euphoria night.
Oh, yeah,
I can't wait to turn it on.
Fuck the Super Bowl. I'm watching Euphoria, goddamn.
But that's like written drama. It's supposed to be dramatic.
Right, but like I feel like that's why it's so popular, because people want to see drama. And drama goes hard. Mm. So when you go to like people in real life, like celebrities, like Kanye out here is out here being like, you're not my fucking friend. Doing all this crazy shit. And people are like, bro, Kanye, it doesn't matter that much. And then, like, yeah, but it's added drama that he has bipolar disorder. So you got the niggas like me who are worried about Kanye being like, bruh, oh, Kanye's getting a hug. Then you got the niggas that hate Kanye and be like, this nigga going crazy. I knew he was going to go crazy. You got the Kanye believers. It's like, bruh, it's just something fun to do. Kind of like the Super Bowl. Something fun to do to pass off time, bruh.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool.
Kanye needs a therapist. He needs somebody to talk to.
He does.
somebody to talk to. I think we all need somebody to talk to. That's not just a Kanye thing, though. Like, yeah. If I had a therapist, we would talk about so much. And I would be, like, so much clearer throughout the week because I would have just, like, got everything off my chest. Like, you know what I mean? Sometimes you just got to let it out. And I like that, like, a counselor or a therapist is a third-party, like, observation. Like, they don't really know you for real. They don't really know what you're telling them. So you can, like, the objective is to be honest with them, right, mm-hmm. so that they can make a sound judgment. But even if you didn't want to dive deep, you don't necessarily have to.
I don't feel like therapy should be the end-all, be-all, though. Because I feel like our generation kind of has movement of, like, there's been, like, a mental health, like, movement. And then everybody's been like, go to therapy. That'll fix everything. It's like, bruh, like, therapy will not fix everything. Like,
you can talk all you want.
Yeah, type shit.
It's the catalyst to fix everything. Yeah, so, like, denying it is, like, you're not trying to start. It's kind of being in denial with itself. Like, I think what's important for people to know too is that, like, going to therapy doesn't mean you have to go to therapy for the rest of your life. Like, you know, you can go to therapy for a year just to, like, get out of your trauma, and then that next year you put your best foot forward with the lessons you've learned from therapy. Like, therapy isn't end all be all by any means. It's just the start to recovering from mental health. Like, you are not going to break any trauma bond until you address the trauma bond. You're not going to address trauma bond with, like, people who cause trauma for you.
Yeah. And sometimes, that, like, I don't even want to, like, bro, I'm not trying to get into all that, bro. Like, I'm not trying to get into all that. Like, not to say, like, as a friend, like, because it's like, people be feeling like, damn, bro, you're supposed to be my homie. You're supposed to always listen. It's like, bro, I will. Mm-hmm. Like, I will do that, but at the same time, it's like, some shit your friends can't clinically, like, diagnose, bro. Like,
yeah,
like, you gotta, like, mm-hmm. go to therapy. But that, my original point was just like you were saying, it's got to be the start. Like, it can't be the solution, because I feel like a lot of like talk is like made us look at it like that's the solution. Once you go to therapy, you'll come out and you'll be fine. And it's like, no, that's how you unravel shit and, like, figure your shit mm-hmm. out.
Also, yeah. I think that with that, going back to Nick's point and also Joy's point, but one, friends, I feel like friends are the best like therapists. Like, they can put you on to like shit and be like, oh, like, I'd be like, damn, all right, for sure, let me try that shit out and see what happens. But at the same time, from just being by myself and just looking into myself, I think that works way better, because most of the time, the things that people tell me, I usually already know within myself. However, I refuse to believe it. Even when I did do therapy for like 3-4 days, or like...
Smith said 3 full days.
Right. Jojo, I thought you was about to say a year. I ain't even going to hold you. Smith said days. Right. I went to like 3-4 and then I stopped going, because she kept on telling me, like, you're doing really, really well. Like, I don't know why you're coming here. I'm like, bruh.
I'm going to Jedi mind trick you.
You have the wrong therapist.
Hey, bruh. Okay, all right.
You're fine.
That's another thing about therapy. You have to find the right therapist for you. Like, you can't just go to the first one that you, like, find and be like, yep, you're going to be it. Because that's not always the case either. Like, y'all got to vibe so you can feel open and comfortable.
No, so, we're vibing. It's just that I was like, bruh, I don't want to pay you to do this, bruh. I got friends.
She was taxing, wasn't she?
Oh, God.
That's like one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons I guess I haven't gone. Like, I feel like I'm paying a stranger to sit and, like, listen to my problems. Which, I mean, I guess it's cool. But, I mean, I don't know. Because it would just have to be, like, so much explanation to go into, like, telling this person, like, why I do this. Or why I feel like this, Like, I had to go into multiple backstories that, like, link together for you to really understand where I'm coming from, like, where I'm moving versus, like, what my guy just said. Like, when you really just sit by yourself sometimes, you really just, you know what I'm saying, spend some time with yourself. Like, you'll probably find those answers that you're looking for. Like I said that in a beat song. Like, the answers are all inside of you. You just got to listen to yourself. Yeah. Like you said, like, we may know the answer. You may not. You may just not believe it in the moment because whatever you're going through, or how you may be feeling, you just may not fully believe it. But at the end of the day, deep down, like, you really know what's going on. You just kind of got to make yourself conscious of what's going on inside. Just sit with yourself for a minute. But I have been thinking about going. A lot of my friends have started going recently, and they said it's been pretty positive for them. So I'm going to definitely look into it, and I'm going to see what the insurance talking about.
Right.
But yeah, I'm looking into it for sure. If I started, you know what I'm saying, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great show.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that show went by hella quick.
It went by super fast, yeah. Do us a favor, drop... let us, you know, just remind the people of your project and where they can find you at. What's your Instagram? Give them your name and all that good stuff, and then we'll close it out. For sure. JoJo in his face.
For sure. Hey, man, like we said at the beginning, I go by the name of Jay Music. It's JAIMUSIQ on all streaming platforms, all social media. The album dropping on February 22nd, 2/22/22, Tuesday. Stay tuned for that. I don't know when y'all are dropping this episode, but, you know what I'm saying, listening party tour coming soon, coming this week. This, y'all probably not going to drop this week. Huh?
It's dropping the day you drop.
I'm going to say it anyway, the listening party tour, you know, Nashville, Chet, Atlanta. And then to be able to y'all venue. What'd you say, Joe?
You going to chat?
Yeah, I'm being chat on the 17th.
Shit, what
you should pop up.
What time?
Chat 17th is, I think I want to say it's at 7. It's at 7 or 8. I be getting the times for different cities and stuff. It's at 7 or 8.
Alright, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. I was going to try to fly to Atlanta, and I could not do it. I'm hurt.
No, I'm definitely pulling to the natural one, but I'm a beater.
Yeah, pull up, man.
I'm a beater.
When you chose the date, did you know, like, the angel number for it? Is that why you chose the date?
I don't know, like, what the different, like, numbers mean specifically. Like, I kind of just know they mean something. But it was just the reposition of twos. Like, it was, like, Tuesday, and then February 2, and then 22, and then 2022 was just... It was just all lined up, so I was just like,
"Well, I looked it up because I'm kind of like into that." So, and then when you started explaining, I was like, "Damn, this fits." I wonder if you know, and you don't, so it might be serendipitous for you. But the number 222 can be seen as a reminder that you are on the right path and doing the right things in life. This number is also a sign of positivity, good luck, and joy. It's almost like the number is trying to show you that you should try to always focus on the positive side of life and be joyful when you can.
Boom.
So,
it's hard.
You're on the right path.
I definitely do feel like I'm on the right path. I feel like I'm moving a little slower than I would like to. But,
hey, you know, the tortoise won the race. Sometimes you gotta go slow. Take your time. It'll all happen.
Slow down. That I think y'all really enjoy. But it just takes about taking your time. Not rushing out of time.